brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Second hour of the Alex Jones Show coming your way. Genesis Communications Radio Network. I'm Jack Blood, sitting in for Alex Jones. My program is Deadline Live. It follows this program Monday through Friday right on this very network. We've been on the air now for 2 years, in syndication for 2 years, and doing that program for 5 years. Charlotte Iserby, our guest today on the program, so we hope you'll tune in. I want to go back to your calls. We'll take as many calls as we can here in this few minutes, and then we'll come back with Dr. Mohammed Daoud Meraki. The book is Afghanistan After, quote-unquote, he puts this in quotes, Democracy, the Untold Story Through Photographic Images. Very interesting guy. We'll have him for the hour. Going back to the phones, 1-800-259-9231. Amy in Arkansas, you're next. Thank you for calling in, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I'm the one who's been sending you information on Wayne Fincher.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. I heard there was a big development in the case.
Yeah, they went ahead and found him guilty on both counts.
Have you ever seen a trial go through this fast?
I mean, no, that's what I said. I think November 8th was whenever he was picked up, and they did expedite it pretty quickly.
It was somewhat, it was postponed slightly from the 8th, and he literally, within a matter of a few days, was tried and convicted. And if you don't know who Wayne Fincher is, in fact, Amy, why don't you give us a quick breakdown?
Well, the trial started on Tuesday. It was going to start on Monday, but he has health problems, and he's 60 years old, and he has health problems. And so it started on Tuesday. It took 2 days, I think, to just go over, to have two witnesses on the stand because there were so many objections from the government side. And I'll get into that. And then Thursday, I think, was the final closing arguments. And then Friday, I went to the courthouse on Friday. And on Friday, the judge just kind of instructed the jury, if anybody's been to court, they know.
Can you back up for me for 1 second? Because there might be people listening who don't know what happened to Wayne. He was raided by multiple alphabet agencies.
Right.
Because he had been out protesting and educating people not only about the Constitution, but about Agenda 21, eminent domain. There are massive land grabs going on in Arkansas. He's a longstanding member of the Arkansas militia. They didn't like him, obviously. They raided Wayne's house. They found some antique machine guns, which literally I thought the case should have been that these are collector's items more than anything else, and a sawed-off shotgun. He was taken to jail, 60 years old, held without any medical treatment for 2 months. High bail, of course, offending his Eighth Amendment, just an extremely high bail of $250,000. Fast-tracked into this trial, and as you say, the trial lasted a few days. Can you tell us, you went there to the courtroom in Arkansas, I believe it was in Fayetteville.
Right.
How was the turnout? Did he have a lot of court watchers?
I would say every day, from what I understand, I talked to some people who were there that were friends of mine, and every day there were between like 40 or 60 people. Some just could come for a little while and pop in and out.
Right.
But there were quite a few people.
We only have about another minute, Amy,
okay.
so
well,
tell us what's going to happen. I'm actually going to be doing an interview on this here this week as well.
I think it's going to take, you know, between 30 to 60 days before they give him his sentence. The one thing that I wanted everybody to know, actually there's a few things, but one of the things was is Wayne was not allowed to testify in front of a jury.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Basically, the government would not allow, and the judge ruled this, they needed to prove that it was a militia that was sanctioned by the government, and since the judge felt it was not sanctioned by the Arkansas governor.
Couldn't testify on his own behalf.
Right. They wouldn't allow anything that had to do with militia to be entered into defense. They wouldn't let him testify on his own behalf in front of a jury.
In the beginning, they weren't even going to allow him to make constitutional arguments.
Right, and they basically didn't. Any time in the closing statements, any time that Oscar Stille, who is his judge, if he started talking about the law, the government would stand up, the prosecuting, she would stand up and object.
Well, real quick, do you know if he's going to appeal this or can he appeal it?
Yeah, I think he's going to try to take it to the Supreme Court.
We're going to bring you more information on Wayne Fincher on our program. If you go to jackblood.com, you'll find a link there and you can get updated on this. He really needs our help. Thank you, Amy, for all you've done to get people on board with this, okay?
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Emily, Jeffrey, and Goat in Ohio, you're going to have to hold on. We have our guest coming up right after this. We'll try to get to everybody in a timely manner. Stay tuned. This is the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com.
Each year, after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Attention, attention everyone! A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us on the program today, folks. Jack Blood again sitting in for Alex Jones. Our guest today is author, photographer, and activist, Dr. Mohammed Daoud Meraki. His book is Afghanistan After Democracy, and they also share a website with the same title, AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. The proceeds of this book are going to be used to build a hospital in Afghanistan, and after you get done looking at the pictures in this book or on their website, you're going to understand that that is probably one of the most important things that somehow Reconstruction has forgotten about. Dr. Meraki is also the son of a former Afghani intelligence agent who worked covertly against the government, against the Russians, and in a way, I guess, could have been seen as an ally to our country, some payback. He joins us now, Dr. Mohammed Daoud Meraki. Good to have you on the Alex Jones Show, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's talk about the book.
Actually, I came to the United States for my family and I back in September of 84, and I went to school here. Did my undergrad in Chicago and both of my masters and PhD from two schools, University of Chicago and University of Illinois. I taught here at a university and some schools. I was quite vocal after 9/11. That cost me all employment prospects, permanent employment prospects at the universities and colleges here. Because I was trying to say that the official explanation didn't add up. I you know, ethnically, I'm a Pashtun, Afghan, you know, one of the largest ethnic groups in Afghanistan, constitute about 65% of the population, and have throughout actually aimed that if I would get an education and in fact tailor my education to one day return and help the common folks there in Afghanistan. But of course that's now a wishful thinking, but I will try wishful thinking in the sense that it has the use of massive uranium weapons in Afghanistan, you know, made life unsustainable and uninhabitable in many areas. I produced this book essentially. I went to Afghanistan and first in June of 2005, and then followed the next year in March of 2006. And I heard a lot about reconstruction and democracy and all the various jargons being thrown around by CNN and Fox and others. And I said to myself, I need to find out if that really is the case. Of course, I knew ahead of time, but I had to document what I was claiming. Finally, I went there, and I, in the book, and it's basically a photographic book, but as you know, the first chapter is an extended introduction. I establish that life is quite miserable for the common people, and the billions of dollars that went there went into the pockets of Halliburton and associated firms and consulting firms and NGOs. The common Afghan ended up stranded on the streets, dying from cold, hunger, and disease. The case was also evident. The last chapter of the book has, you know, are photos of congenital deformities, photos I took in the maternity ward, you know, in Kabul, you know.
And this is due to the depleted uranium munitions that are littered about Afghanistan, which we've talked about perpetually on the program here.
Yes, it is indeed due to that. And suddenly after the bombing, various illnesses and conditions emerged, and incidentally the case of deformities suddenly increased, as well as unheard or unseen deformities and bizarre deformities, as well as those that are common in every society. So there was an accelerated rate in that too. Life is truly, truly miserable, and there is absolutely no hope for the common people. You know, women are dying in childbirth. Becoming pregnant becomes really a death sentence because there is absolutely no health care. They spend more on this rubbish of war on drugs, which is really nothing but a phantom, rather than on health care. And some of the hospitals are really medieval, it looks like a medieval hospice.
Well, absolutely. Now, you look at the pictures in this book, folks, and it's a big, full-color book. You can see these full-color pictures that Dr. Meraki took firsthand, and it's shocking. You'll well up. I mean, it is really hard to look at, and obviously we haven't seen these pictures. We haven't seen the evidence of what we've paid for, what we've sponsored in Afghanistan, a war that largely seems to be forgotten in the Middle East, if I may add. We just don't see this stuff. And do you think, Dr. Meraki, that if Americans see the damage that's really done to little children in Afghanistan, that they might be a little more virulent in opposing this occupation?
Yes, it's somewhat unfortunate because when I look at my website, AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com, the number of people visited, stands around 5,000 or so because it has been opened recently. And among those 5,000 people visited, I have the articles there too for them to at least firsthand see the photos. I got some lip service and a few good people, very few, ordered the book, and the rest, even were quite upset about what I had written and sent me emails being quite opinionated. And so initially someone told me, look, you're doing this book trying to raise money for the hospital and research facility. At least, I'm not even saying the hospital is just to paying for the land, because we have kept the land, you know, been on hold, and you know, I was able to extend it, and we're going to lose that land end of January. And you know, my calculation or miscalculation in this case was that the book will raise the funds, and we will pay for the land, and then that would become a tangible factor, and we can build a hospital by raising more funds and at least getting people's attention and the or companies who could yeah. help us.
It would be nice if, you know, through our alleged reconstruction efforts that we could aid you in this. As you write in your book, 86 cents out of every dollar of American aid is phantom aid.
Yes, indeed. That is very, very true. And
can you explain that to our listeners, please, Doctor?
Sure. It's, what happens is this. Initially, you know, all the billions of dollars that are getting claimed that supposedly goes to reconstruction and so forth. Primarily, majority of that money does not even leave the country. It tells the country that the recipient country that, oh, we have reconstruction for you, but company XYZ and so forth is going to evaluate your situation, is going to look at what's necessary and what's not. And in the process, company X gets the money. Company X gets a small percentage to another company, Y, that supposedly does the subcontracting, and then the company Y gives it company Z for subcontracting. In the process, everybody steals the money, which is, you know, already known by the U.S. government. Yeah. It's their money, their company. And by the time the money gets to the Afghans or to any recipient for that matter, is really peanuts. And in that peanuts is not even spent on what's needed, but rather what is perceived to be needed in that country. You know, the high-priced consultants, you know, paid hundreds of thousands of dollars supposed to simply express their opinions, when in fact yeah. what's needed is absolutely ignored.
Are you, I'm sure you're aware, Dr. Meraki, that the initial plans to go into Afghanistan had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, and this was pre-9/11. The Unocal wanted to build a pipeline through there to connect the Caspian Sea with some of the more oil-producing countries. I'm sure you're aware of this.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I mean, there has to be... Are you asking, are the people of Afghanistan asking, where's the money from the pipeline that we're building here, and why can't we use that to put in our own treasury
sure.
to rebuild our country?
The problem is this, that initially when Unocal was trying to build a pipeline, was trying to pull a fast one on the government of Taliban, telling them, oh, we'll pay you $50 million a year, which is really pocket change compared to the money they were making. When Taliban found out that they're trying to pull a fast one on us, they decided to give the contract to Brightus, the Argentinian company. And that's what pissed Unocal and, you know, put in the whole thing, the whole notion that, we're not going to have the pipeline, we won't have the profits, and let's, you know, warn the Taliban or the government of Afghanistan. And then in Berlin in 2001, I believe it was, they offered him, they say, accept our offer or we will bomb you to, you know, to the Stone Age, if you will. And so, yeah, it's all economics and it's all geostrategic.
But you're allegedly now a sovereign country. They try to tell us that you're not being occupied, that you know, Karzai, who's a former Chevron employee himself,
right.
is running the government. In that case, I mean, I guess it would stand to reason that you could, you know, reap the benefits of your own resources, and as you say, I guess the occupation is standing in the way.
Well, if Karzai was really a leader of Afghanistan, this was not an occupied country, why don't we ask Karzai to go just 1 mile outside Kabul? And forget about Kabul, outside downtown Kabul.
How does he live? How does Karzai live? Because I've looked at your pictures of downtown Kabul, and it is absolutely outrageous. I don't think that we could, you know, show you anything in this country in the worst ghetto or barrio here, even in North America, that would compare to the situation of living in Kabul. What does he live in? A big palace there?
He lives in a big palace, yes. I was in Kabul, and I saw he just decided to do a photo op and walking from his palace to the center of Kabul, and while he was walking, half the military force was following him.
Yeah. Sounds like George Bush or Dick Cheney in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina a little bit. We'll come back. Dr. Meraki is our guest, The Alex Jones Show. Stay tuned, folks.
go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop, because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that Russia sponsored a terrorist training camp in Havana, Cuba, 1966? In this camp, they planned terrorist activity on every continent, including the United States. Have we seen terrorist activities on every continent just as they plan? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening, more about Bible prophecy, by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call.
Ted Anderson from Midas, January 15, 2007, gold 626.70, ounce gold coin 647.39, 326.25 for half, 163.12 for quarter ounce coins. That's 647.39, 326.25, and 163.12. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency, 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Bereshef's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
What is the secret of the sea? It's the exciting food from the sea, and it can be yours with Nature's Original Superfood from Wachter's. This excellent exclusive blend of Wachter's sea vegetation is bursting with over 65 trace minerals and vitamins. Our sea vegetation contains 40 times more nutrients than any land-grown vegetation. You would need almost 20 pounds of alfalfa, 10 pounds of spirulina, and 40 pounds of wheat to get the same nutritional value found in only 1 pound of Wachter's exclusive blend of sea plants. Over 75 years of experience has made Wachter's the leader in sea vegetation nutrition. Experience the benefits for yourself today. Call Wachter's today to order your bottle of sea vegetation. Join us on a business associate call to learn more at 800-682-7100. That's 800-682-7100. Or visit our website at wachters.com. That's W-A-C-H-T-E-R-S.com.
Communications Radio Network. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jack Blood, sitting in for Alex Jones. Our guest today is Dr. Muhammad Dawood Meraki. His book is Afghanistan After Democracy. His website, and you can get the book there, AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier on the program, and we've just got to face the truth. We can't hide from what's being done in our name. So we as Americans have a responsibility at this point. Dr. Meraki sharing with us what's really going on inside of Afghanistan. And we just heard him in the last segment say, I challenge the so-called president, Hamid Karzai, former Chevron employee, just like Condoleezza Rice. I challenge him to go 1 mile outside of Kabul. Because, of course, the illusion is that the United States has done a good job. The war is over in Afghanistan. We've completely occupied the country. There's peace. Women there don't have to wear burqas anymore. Children are going to school. And isn't it all wonderful? Of course, the truth is nowhere near that, and we know what it is. It's propaganda. Dr. Meraki, thank you for joining us on the program today.
No problem.
And thank you for chronicling this. I think it's important for us all to know about it.
Thank you. No problem. It's a pleasure to be here. The thing that I wanted to point out was another factor that, you know, usually the corporate media had taken the issue of burqa and blown it into out of proportion, say, oh, we could go there to liberate women. That was the biggest insult the Afghan people ever got from anybody. Not realizing that this is part of the culture, you know, nobody really forced them to wear burqas. And those very women who are actually begging, as you see in the book, begging on the streets of Kabul with their ill children laying in front of them and trying to survive, actually are dying as we speak. And hundreds of women, widows and orphans, thousands of them, are roaming around the streets of Kabul just to have a loaf of bread.
Not to sound insensitive here, but are you telling me that the women of Afghanistan don't want to dress like Britney Spears or Madonna?
No, actually, they'd be tremendously insulted if you told them to remove your burqa.
They're worried about things like food and feeding their family.
Exactly. That's their priority, to have food, not to die before the age of 44, which is really the life expectancy of women in Afghanistan, 45, the life expectancy for men in Afghanistan. One in five children don't reach their fifth birthday. Women die in childbirth in the hundreds. In some areas of Afghanistan, the worst rate of women death and childbirth ever really recorded. The thing that's really bothering me, that before I got on your show, a lot of people told me that since you'll be in on the Alex Jones show, a lot of people hear that and they will render their support by visiting your site and order the book, since the book is not really, I'm not making this book, or I haven't produced this book to get fat or get rich from it. Besides, I won't get much anyway. The whole thing is to just make a few $1,000s, $45,000 to pay for the land that we have. And thus far, I'm looking at the website and hoping that, you know, supposedly a lot of people are listening to visit AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com, and I haven't gotten one order. And, you know, I tell the folks that, look, you know, whether they like it or not, some people don't like to hear it. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, willingly or unwillingly, this government gets your taxes, and those taxes are killing and making our land, my ancestral land, uninhabitable forever. So there's got to be some degree of responsibility, and, you know, people like to look at things freely and have it freely, but, you know, we haven't gotten the hell that we are experiencing in Afghanistan for free. Actually, got paid by your tax dollars.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, and you mentioned this. And look, I mean, we're not here to force people to buy this book. I mean, that's not how we act. But let me finish, because there are enough listeners in this audience who could buy your book today and buy the land for that hospital, and you can put a plaque on it thanks to the Alex Jones listeners.
Indeed.
because that could really happen. We have the power in this audience to do that and to help you build this hospital literally in one day if we can get people to put out $20 and get this great book, by the way. It's very informative, full of amazing pictures, something you'd share with your family. So you're getting something for your money, but at the same time, you have the peace of mind that you've done something to try to correct the situation that your government is responsible for. We'll come back more with Dr. Meraki right after this. Afghanistan After Democracy. Go order this book. We'll come right back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I'm Jack Blood. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Shelly, you look ex- Oh, wait. Why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bedfan.com.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Situation that we're facing doesn't include a total apathy towards the once sovereign nation of Afghanistan, because you get the feeling when you watch American news, or even global news to some extent, a Western news, that we've completely forgotten about Afghanistan. I mean, Colin Powell was famous for saying, you know, you broke the dishes, now you own it, you got to clean it up. And the American people are so preoccupied with whatever they're doing, and I'll speak on behalf of my fellow Americans, that, you know, they've been told we won the war in Afghanistan. Oh, there are some pesky Taliban running around. Those are probably the same Taliban that we flew out, or ISI and the United States flew out in C-130s before the invasion began, or right during the invasion. No, they didn't escape. They were escorted out of the country, folks. But I feel that, you know, like talking about taxes or electronic vote fraud, the toll roads being put up everywhere, the NAFTA highway, and some to some extent the North American Union consolidation of power, I feel like we've forgotten all about Afghanistan. I feel like we've been so desensitized and we're so numb about Afghanistan that we're not we're not realizing what is really our responsibility at this point. And you may say, well, Jack, it's not my responsibility. I didn't invade Afghanistan. But we have a responsibility as a country and as a people to, in a way, fix the problems that our government has created in our name. Our guest today is Dr. Mohammed Daoud Meraki. His book, and it is a fascinating book. It talks all about the opium, the organized crime currently happening in Afghanistan. You'll read a lot of things, and you'll see a lot of things that you just haven't heard anywhere or seen anywhere, and not on even on some website somewhere. So it's a really unique look inside of modern-day Afghanistan. It's called Afghanistan After Democracy. The website is the same, AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. And I hope everybody supports the doctor and supports their work. And I'd like to think that we built a hospital on this program today. Dr. Meraki, thank you for joining us. Can we talk a little bit about, you talk about this in your book, organized crime and American crimes and the a massive growth of the opium business in your country?
Yeah, of course. After the invasion, many organized crime organizations, local as well as foreign, entered Afghanistan, and various, the gruesome crimes that really is quite appalling is those that targeting orphans. Many organized crimes that have connections to international crime syndicate kidnap children.
And ransom for their bodily organs for trafficking.
Yes, for their bodily organs in the hundreds. They do that, and then other, there were cases. I interviewed local doctor. He was on his way to Pakistan and stopped on his way and saw a bunch of kids, and they went there, and, the bellies were opened surgically and the organs were removed surgically. I mean, this is really disgusting. At that time, in the Taliban period, this could not be, because they will hang him right away. And that would have been, impossible. There was complete law and order. I know they were strict, they were, narrow-minded and whatever they were. But this could not have happened. And then, as I say, there are more than 50,000 orphans roaming around Kabul and its vicinity. And many of these kids are also kidnapped for slave labor as well as for sexual purposes, rotten purposes for overseas, as well as sold to U.S. contractors and U.S. soldiers. For a few hundred dollars, they're being used for whatever purpose.
And United Nations workers as well, who notoriously have taken advantage of refugees all around the world.
Yes, indeed. And the result is really a disaster. People are afraid and their kids disappear. And American forces, there are a lot of pedophiles and sodomites among them. And then they stop. As you documented those cases, they take little boys and rape them. They have entered houses, and while the husband is not there, they have gotten the wife and have taken her under the guise of questioning her and gang raped her, and then committed suicide. And so a lot of these people say, our boys are our boys. George Bush doesn't go in person.
This is what war is, Dr. Meraki. I try to have my audience face this, no matter what I'm doing. This is war. We need to understand, before we go invade a country, that this is always what you're mentioning here, these grotesque acts in our name and in the name of others. And you mentioned contractors, probably in the United Nations, maybe being at the tip of this spear. But we wouldn't stand for this in our country.
Certainly not.
But this is war. This is what war is. When are we going to understand that?
Yeah, and the tragedy is this, that, so people are really common people that I spoke with. They said, people that really oppose the Taliban government for being too strict. They said, well, it's okay, it was strict, it was crazy, it was this, it was that. But at least people didn't violate our dignity. With Americans here, our dignity is violated. We'd rather join the Taliban than having our dignity violated day in, day out.
It's unbelievable that we have to talk about the Taliban and we all know who they are, or Saddam Hussein is the lesser of two evils in this case. It's almost embarrassing. Tony Blair had boasted that he's going to bomb those poppy fields. Right now, the estimate this year is that Afghanistan is producing enough heroin for the entire world, plus another 70%. I got to ask you the same question I've asked a lot of other people. Sully Castile, former DEA agent, joining us on tomorrow's show. We talk about this. How are they getting all of this opium out of a militarized, controlled country such as Afghanistan?
Well, logic dictates, as we have posed it really nicely, how are they getting it out? You know, as they have done it always in the past, the U.S. military provides the planes, the CIA and so forth, and before the invasion, many characters who were active in Cambodia and Vietnam in the late 60s actually were shipped to Afghanistan and surrounding areas with the expectation there's going to be a high surge in opium production and so forth, and they do it, you know, and the millions, billions of dollars are being made for black ops and whatever else they have, and the world is being getting into really rotten shape. And
well, I mean, I have it on authority that they're shipping it out, of course, as you say, with escorts from the coalition engaged military there on the ground in Afghanistan, sending it over for a refinement in Pakistan, our wonderful
right.
friends over in Pakistan, and then it goes out to the rest of the world as heroin or whatever else. I'm sure some of this ends up in our pharmaceuticals here in the United States.
Yes, it certainly does, because, I spoke to an individual who's a warlord near Kandahar, and I told him, look, how come, how do you guys operate? Do you guys directly move it to Iran or Central Asia? That's usually the previous route of drug
yeah.
smuggling. He started laughing at me. I told him, what's so funny? He said, look, man, we don't have to do it. The Americans do it for us. And I said, wow, isn't that, entrepreneurial?
Do you think that in some ways the war in Afghanistan was as much about those that poppy production as it was about oil or
sure,
control
sure.
or anything else?
Very much, because poppy were completely eradicated by Taliban's government. There were absolutely no poppy cultivated in the land that they controlled. And that was one of the reasons that was also pissed off the ISI, the Pakistan's intelligence, that are heavily involved in drug smuggling, which is really an offshoot of CIA.
Yet our government tells us there's nothing they can do about it, it's out of control, and their priorities, in fact, this is what they just come out and said, Dr. Meraki, their priorities are elsewhere, and though they'd like to stop the production of poppies and opium in Afghanistan, they're too busy trying to fight the terrorists.
Indeed, and I'll share a quick story with you that I came across when we got this land near Kabul. A lot of people were optimistic. Initially, when I went in 2005, I told them that, look, I'm going to go back to the U.S. There are great people. They're going to help you guys, and they're very concerned people all over that country. So in 2006, when I returned, and many people to whom I promised and talked about the prospects of help, they started laughing at me. And say, oh, what happened? The good people helped us. And I told them, look, just wait and see. When we had the land, because the land was, we didn't buy it or anything, we just put it on hold until the end of January. A young kid came to me and said, look, I saw this movie, American movie one time, in which a rich man was watching a TV and there was a little kid that needed surgery and the kid needed, $40,000 or $50,000 to do surgery, and that rich man paid for it. Maybe if you talk to Americans, they might be a rich person who could do the same. And I smiled at him and I told the kid, you've been watching too many movies. So similar experience happened to me when I was in the on the Hal Turner show. A person emailed me and said, "Okay, I have $5,000 for you," and I was really, extremely happy. And
yeah.
said, "That's a significant shift toward aiming our goal. I mean, acquiring the goal." But when he said, "Email me back. Send me your contact." Man, I sent that guy. 5 or 6 or 10 emails, And, you know, I just got this enchanted. I said, look, you know, if you think this is funny, I don't find it amusing. Don't have to send me, don't have to insult me by sending me, oh, well, we have X amount for you. We heard you on Alex Jones or Hal Turner show. We'll help you out. And then when you send them email, they stop responding. They, you know, just trying to pull a fast one on you.
Well, look, we do the same thing. I mean, we're look, my listeners and Alex's listeners. I mean, we're trying to we're trying to save our own country here,
sure.
Obviously. So we have a lot of priorities, and I think that you know, at some point again, we do need to be responsible. And maybe that person will be in this audience. Dr. Meraki, and I certainly hope so, and I'd like to think that this show can accomplish things like this on a large level, on a global scale, but we're literally fighting for ourselves here in our own community so that we don't turn into Afghanistan. There's a show here called 24 where there's sectarian violence in the streets and martial law, and we're all being sent to camps. I mean, we see the future of Afghanistan happening right here in our own backyard.
No, I've seen Alex's documentaries, and I'm aware of the efforts of the federal government trying to militarize everything, trying to subjugate us, and by eradicating the civil liberties and putting the Constitution in the garbage. And that has been, you know, the aim of Patriot Act and this whole notion of how 9/11 occurred were aimed actually to have a police state. And we see the, you know, the signs of police state all around us. We've been, the police now can come to your house without any warrant and do whatever they want.
Don't
and
have
they,
to knock and just kick
no,
down your
they
door.
Can, yeah, they can just kick the door and so forth. So what the heck is going on? And then they have to... And they have to scrutinize those who are in militias and say, oh, we don't want these militias. Well, we need the militias or whomever. We need the, we have the Constitution right to have weapons, you know, guns. And if the federal government eliminate that, then they can kick our door and they can do whatever they please.
I've got to ask you, too, about gun grabbing, martial law, these types of things in Afghanistan. Let's go to the phones, because we have a couple of callers here that did want to talk to you, Dr. Meraki. So let's talk to Jeffrey in Connecticut, and then we'll go to Skip in California. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us. You're on the air with Dr. Muhammad Dawood Meraki.
How you doing, sir? Hey, doctor, it's good to finally talk to somebody from over there. I mean, I was in the Army. For about 8 years, I went to Kosovo twice, and I went to Iraq and never went to Afghanistan, but I did have a couple of buddies over there. And I would like to openly apologize for all the things that, you know, been happening. I mean, I've seen a lot of it in Iraq, and...
good for you. That's a good start, Jeffrey.
I was in Iraq. I was in Samarra in 2004. And if all of you out there haven't heard anything about Samarra, you can look up the Golden Mosque explosion, and we're probably behind that one because I used to guard it, and the Black Cross incident. And I went into Fallujah for 2 weeks, and I saw what happened there. And,
oh, it was a disaster.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I'm out of the Army right now, besides the fact that I was wounded in Iraq. I finally got fed up with what I was seeing, and besides that, I had a son born to me 2 weeks before I did go to Iraq, and in July 8th, when I did get wounded, it kind of reorganized my priorities. And when I got back to the States, I saw what was going on over here. And all I got to say is, sir, that I'm sorry. I've got buddies right now that are fighting health problems with depleted uranium like I am. I mean, I've got my stomach lining shed in every 5 seconds because of stuff. And
I appreciate
these people
it.
There are victims on all sides of this war.
And I would like to say that these people will have to tone for what's happened. I mean, I tone for what I did every night. So,
yeah.
Jeffrey, I hope you get the book if you can afford it. And you know, even if it just seems like a little bit of money to you, you're going to get a great book. And, you know, your apology is wonderful, but these guys need some financing. So we can all pitch in on that. But I appreciate the call, Jeffrey, and that apology. That's pretty heartfelt there, Dr. Meraki.
Indeed.
Skip in California, thank you for joining us. You're on the Alex Jones Show.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I was looking at the Afghanistan After Democracy website, and I saw some of the photographs of the babies there.
Yeah.
If you go to YouTube and you type in alien baby, you can actually see one of those babies being fed with a bottle. I would give it an NC-17 rating. It's pretty disturbing, but I think if a picture is worth a thousand words, I don't know how many words a video clip would be, but yeah. It's
well, that's the
intense.
New thing, Dr. Meraki. Everybody's making short videos, putting them on YouTube.
Right, they're very
powerful.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't write books anymore because I guess people don't read too much anymore. But
yeah, I was contacted, and when I had published these photos, a lot of people contacted me, these are, you know, they look like alien babies. I told them, look, fella, there were no alien, quote-unquote, babies in Afghanistan before the U.S.'s invasion. And right after the invasion, suddenly these deformities started.
You talk about silent genocide. I'm
silent
looking at pictures
genocide,
of babies
indeed.
With, you know, 15, 20-pound tumors on them, little infants.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be your child,
That's
folks.
The thing. That's the thing. People don't seem to realize. And my question is to them this. How would you feel if your baby was born like that?
It doesn't matter until it happens to you, okay?
Right,
you're
right.
Never going to have a fire. Your house is never going to burn down. You're going to lose everything that you ever worked for and owned until it happens to you. And then now you're an advocate for fire safety, okay? It's always, everything always happens too late. We're going to come right back. We'll take at least one more call. Muhammad Daoud Meraki, AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. This is InfoWars.com. Stay tuned, folks.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day? Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Yeah, it's not my place to say it. I'm sitting in for Alex Jones today. My name's Jack Blood. If this is my show, I'd guilt you into getting this book. I guilt you into supporting this cause. It's the least you can do. AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. We have a lot of priorities, okay? But really, I mean, we still are the richest nation on earth. I know that some of you might, you know, want to go to a movie this weekend. Maybe you'll skip the movie and get this book. It's a real eye-opener. You're going to learn a lot by reading it. It'll be a great collection to your library. I don't know if Dr. Meraki will autograph it for you. You can ask him. AfghanistanAfterDemocracy.com. And in some small way, a very small way, you'll have helped the people of Afghanistan above and beyond what our country, what our military, what our diplomats are allegedly doing. Dr. Meraki, thank you again for joining us. I'm going to take one more call, and then I have to ask you some exit questions here. Steve in Ohio, a quick comment for Dr. Meraki. Thank you for holding.
Hello, Jack and Dr. Meraki.
Hello.
I'm really interested in some of Jack's comments today about media being used really as a predictive programming tool. So I went and looked on the BBC, and there's some really interesting stuff up there, not least if you do a search on the news site there for black torso, you'll find a disturbing series of articles on the BBC about torsos of little boys floating down the Thames, presumably past the Commons. And that happened in 2003. Hundreds of children going missing, vanishing in London.
Yeah.
And we see this destruction all over the Middle East. And in September, the flagship political program, Panorama, did a story on the sceptered Gordon Brown supposedly replacing Tony Blair, and the opening scene of the program was of Brown coming down out of Downing Street and presenting what was happening in Iran, the attack on Iran. You know, you can see fingerprints of this all throughout the media. They use this to program us, to get us ready for what's coming on. And we saw it, too, before the invasion of Afghanistan. It's tragic, really, and it's happening all over the place, not just in the places we attack, but indeed in the places where we live. And we need to do something about this. And our brothers and sisters across the world are behind us. You know, we should be together on this. And
they're waiting for us to do something.
They're waiting
for us. They're counting, and a lot of them are becoming very discouraged because they're counting on people like you and me and the people out here who know what's going on to do something about this and to come to their rescue.
That's right. And we can do it. We can do it.
Well, it doesn't take much.
We just need to get on and do it.
It doesn't take much. Thank you for the call. I've got to move on here. Mohammed, at this point, I mean, what do you want? More troops? So will that help you out? More troops in Afghanistan?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. He's even polite about it. No, thank you. We don't want any more occupying forces raping our children, harvesting their organs, and selling drugs in Afghanistan.
No,
I mean, what is the answer then?
The answer is simple. Let Afghans decide their own future. We know how to live. We are human beings. We have a 5,000 years old history. Our land, unfortunately, has been turned into a poison land now because depleted uranium has a half-life of 0.5 billion years.
Yes.
So until Earth exists, the Afghan people will be dying from this. No one will be able to pay enough to make up for the perpetual debt that our people will be dying
from. If
we
pull out of Afghanistan, are you guys going to be putting up a bunch of Al-Qaeda terror camps over there?
No, we never had, actually, Al-Qaeda, because the CIA was very active in doing it itself and in fact, blaming it on Afghanistan.
Why don't you stay with me for 5 more minutes? Can you do that, Dr. Meraki?
Sure.
Let's make sure we finish this off on a good note. We'll come right back after this, folks. 70 seconds. Stay tuned.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.